Friends, this morning I want to bring to your attention the words of verse 24 of Isaiah 33. It is about being forgiven. So my title is simply forgiven. Forgiven. What a wonderful word that is. The people, we read, that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. What is it to be forgiven? When Isaiah said these words in the context of this passage, and you might have read this and thought to yourself, what is this talking about? Well, the context is that Jerusalem was on the brink of destruction. They were ready to fall. The enemies were round about. When all the hopes of earthly hope and earthly help was gone, in utter helplessness, what happens? Hezekiah does something. Hezekiah the king called upon the Lord to deliver the people. He went and spread before the Lord the letters, the words, and he called upon God. Lord, this is our lot. We have nowhere to turn to. We are going to perish. We will fall, but Lord, show mercy. And when he did that, God did hear his prayer. And what did the Lord do? God arose and he showed his power and he destroyed the Assyrians and he delivered his people. So that's the context. When Hezekiah prayed, do you pray? Do you seek God? Boys and girls, is that you seeking the Lord? When he prayed, God gave him this word of promise concerning the people who were in the depth of anguish and despair because of their unbelief. You see, this is what has happened. They were unbelieving. They had sinned. This is the people of the land. And then the Lord says to them this. This is my promise to you. And the inhabitants shall not say. This is those people who are living in Jerusalem. They are not going to say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. So he's saying that here it is, there are some outward things happening, but the problem is because of the sin that needs to be forgiven. The iniquity. So the Lord is at work, friends. The Lord is at work. He was at work in response to cries for help and prayer. And that is a wonderful, miraculous, mysterious thing about prayer. We go from this world, from time and space into eternity, speaking with God and speaking about things that are out of our control. It's out of our power. Who can forgive sins? Can you forgive your sins? We are told by the world today, you have to forgive yourself. No, no, my friends. If you try to forgive yourself, the guilt will remain. The guilt will be there. But who can forgive sins? But God, the scripture says, the Lord will forgive your sins, and not only forgive your sins, but he takes the sin. And he casts it away. He remembers it no more, the scripture says. So the Lord is at work in forgiving sin, forgiving undeserving sinful people, but also in saving them. He doesn't just forgive, but he saves them. Those people, those of us who admit of our guilt, that's one of the things we ought to do, to admit of our guilt and of our sin, then call upon his name. Whosoever, the scripture says, whoever it is that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not because of themselves, but because God in his glory, he chooses to save, and he chooses to save those who call upon him. So that's the background here. In this, he is glorified when he shows love to those of us who are so unlovely and have such sad and bad backgrounds. It says in verse 21 that the glorious Lord, truly, God never appears more glorious than when he condescends to deliver us from the extremities of trouble and sorrow, which we bring on ourselves, on our own lives because of our own sin and unbelief. And throughout this chapter, you can hear the echo of David's words that we read earlier on. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Do you praise God? Are the sound of praise, does it go out of your houses? Out of not just houses, not just from your lips, but from your hearts. So this whole chapter is a message from God to a people who are in the depth of utter extremity. And they know that they have nowhere to turn to. So have you been brought to that place of not knowing where to turn? And you have nowhere to turn. When worse has come to worse, these people humble themselves. Hezekiah humbled himself. He trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. So here is a picture of how we are fallen into sin, as our father Adam fell into sin, and all of his children after him. So it is. And yet God it gives us this picture here. He does pardon, He does forgive iniquities. But friends, I can only say to you who are feeling like this, maybe you are feeling like this. Maybe you are cast down. Be of good cheer, the Lord Jesus Christ said. Be encouraged. God has sent His Son. That's why we are gathering together this morning. God has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from this terrible sin, terrible guilt. And when all else is gone, when you have no other hope and no other strength, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. God remains the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And God will appear to you. As the scripture says, He abideth faithful. So as you trust your soul to God by coming to Jesus Christ, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Because He has promised it. When you have no strength, it will be your strength still. And it will be your strength to be still. Are you still before God? When you can do nothing else to help yourself, it will be the wisest course of action to, as the scripture says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I want to speak to you this morning simply on that word, forgiven. Forgiven. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquities. And there are a few things that I want to leave before you by way of points. First of all, before being forgiven, God shows you your utter helplessness. Before you are forgiven, God shows you your utter helplessness. Secondly, forgiveness is promised to every penitent, that is, repentant sinner. And thirdly, when sin is forgiven, the consequences of sin is removed. And finally, as soon as a sinner repents and prays to God, God hears and God forgives. So those are some of the things that I want us to think about as we think about that word forgiven. First of all, before being forgiven, God shows your utter helplessness. That's what the Lord does. He shows that in variety of ways. But He shows you that you need Him. At least you need Him. He shows you of His love towards someone who doesn't deserve love. Friends, Jerusalem was a mess in this context. It was a mess. And they were in this mess because of their own unbelief, because of their sins. They had trusted in themselves, they had trusted in the neighbors. And they had thought that because God had blessed them before, that will continue on. And so whatever they did, it didn't matter. God is going to still be their God, they thought. But no. The history of Israel reveals much to us about the way they kept falling into sin. And they were brought so low until they trusted God again. Until they prayed to the Lord in their desperation. And what we find again and again, He saves. He did save them. And this is often how God brings people to Himself. God uses the sad things. Are you going through sad times? Are you going through times of difficulty, great pain and suffering? It is God who is at work in those situations. The desperate situations in our lives, they oftentimes bring us to our knees. Is that a bad place to be? No. Spiritually speaking, that's a good place to be. Because that's the place that God blesses. He blesses those of our broken spirits and contrite hearts, the scripture says. These are the people who receive the Spirit of God. Important changes happen. You grow and you come to know the Lord when you are brought so low. So what is your case right now? Is God speaking to you right now? The Lord is saying, look to me now. Look to me now in your hour of need. Don't turn to your own ways. Don't try to fix things. I will rescue you. I will save. Doesn't it say the Lord saves? I will save you. And that is what's happening to these people. They were brought very low in their lives until they prayed to God for mercy, until they trusted in Him again, and He saved them, and He forgave them. That's where forgiveness is, when we are brought so low. We need forgiveness too. The second thing is this. Forgiveness is promised to every penitent sinner. Forgiveness is promised to every penitent sinner. It says this, the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquities. But how is that possible? It's through repentance, through admitting of our sins. The psalmist speaks of this in Psalm 51. David admits this readily, that he has sinned against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But to be forgiven, what a wonderful thing this is. What a blessed word that is. Forgiveness here is promised to God's erring, fallen, sinful people. So if you're a child of God, by God's grace, if you are born again of God's Spirit, hear this, and you should rejoice. You should thank God. As God forgave David and forgave Peter, so God promises you to forgive you. Just turn to Him. Commit yourself to Him. And as we read earlier on, He will not quench the smoking flax. And you might think like that right now. But if I confess my sins, then He has promised to forgive me of my sins and to change me from within. He doesn't just forgive, but He cleanses. He sets us free to serve Him. And as He forgave Hezekiah, as He forgave Judah, so He will forgive me, and so He will forgive you. And if you are not yet a Christian, God promises you forgiveness. But you must humble yourself. He doesn't forgive an unhumbled person. You must admit your guilt. This is where the hard times in your life brings you to realize what a kind of person you are. You must trust your soul to Jesus Christ. That's the only way for you to be forgiven. Through God's only Son, the Lord Jesus. What is forgiveness? To forgive? It means to pardon someone. To put our sin, the offenses that has been made, the faults, to put it to one side. To deal with it. And to put it to one side. Not to bring it back up again. It means to not be angry anymore against a person's sin. It means to cancel the payment of debt. That's why sin is oftentimes referred to in the scriptures, the debt we owe to God. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says, this is our daily prayer, the pattern of prayer, forgive us our debts, He says. He cancels the payment, He cancels the debt. And isn't it lovely to know, isn't it lovely to feel that someone whom we have offended, whom we have wronged, has forgiven us? Before it, you look miserable. You feel guilty. You want to shut yourself away. And yet the person comes to you and says, you're forgiven. I forgive you. It's all finished. You don't have to worry about it. Isn't it a wonderful thing, children? When they know they have done something wrong, they are not at rest. They are not happy. But when the parent says, I forgive you, all is finished. Don't worry about it now. They're then happy again, rejoicing again. I think I mentioned this to you before, of that story, Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged. And the son did something very wicked. And he left the home. He left the home. And after a while, the father went after him. The father was angry at the beginning. The father said, I will not forgive you. But then after a while, he went after his son who had run away. He searched for months to no avail. He couldn't find his son. He'd done everything he could do. And finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an advert in the Madrid newspaper. And it said this. Dear Marco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. And do you know, Saturday came, and there were 800 Marcos at that newspaper office waiting for their father, to see their father who had promised to forgive them of their sins. That's a wonderful thing. But that's the very thing the Lord says to us. This is the book, the testimony of God, that through Jesus Christ, He forgives sinners. That's what He says. We love to be forgiven. It relieves our conscience to know that all our wrong is now put to one side. And it's something we have not done anything about. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on how much good work you do, how much religious activities you do, how many rules and regulations you keep. It doesn't depend on any of that. But it depends on the grace of our Father in heaven, who before we ever knew Him, had chosen in eternity past with the acceptance of His Son to send His Son, and the Holy Spirit was to apply the work of Jesus Christ to the heart of those who would seek Him. That all those who have done wrong against the law of God, the law of God that we have broken, and God, the Scripture says, is angry with the wicked every day. And yet He has done something to bring about our forgiveness. So that love of God through Jesus Christ replaces His wrath, His just wrath against our sin. So here it speaks about people who are forgiven. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. This forgiveness is promised to every penitent sinner. And these were people who were in trouble, calling upon God in Jerusalem. In chapter 55, again, Isaiah, with similar, it's in the same context. Isaiah 55, you have those words that are often repeated. And verses 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the mind of God. And we cannot understand it. But this is the mind of God. This is what the Lord says. You confess your sins. You admit of Him and He will forgive. He will cleanse. So we all have one thing in common, friends. We are all sinners in need of forgiveness. All have sinned. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by our own choice and by our own practice. But the root of sin, is it our upbringing? Is it because of our parents? Is it because of our environment? Is it because of certain disabilities or things that we think are wrong with us? Well, my friends, the root of it is the heart. It's the heart. We have this sin principle, the sin thought. We sin in motive and sin in attitude. And the Lord looketh upon the heart, the scripture says. So, friends, this is why we need this. We need this promise of the Lord. We need to look upon sin as it really is and in its true character. And the Lord rebukes our self-righteousness. If all we have is outward religion, the Lord rebukes all of that. If that's all we are hanging on to, that if I only do this, if I only do that, I'll be right in God's sight, God rebukes that. This is what the Lord says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law of God. So these are things that we need to think about. The root of the matter is the thing that we need to see clearly. But here we are to proclaim to everyone here that this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness with God. And you read through the scriptures, you come across these words again and again and again, and much more clearly in the gospels. But we read in Psalm 130 verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Micah tells us this in Micah 7 verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? That's what we were singing this morning. Who is a pardoning God like thee? And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, he retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. That's what God delights in mercy. So how can I be sure that there is forgiveness with God? Certainly we have no hope in ourselves. We cannot atone for our own sins. But I know that there is forgiveness and mercy with God for so many reasons. Because God's name is that he is merciful. That's his character. His name is attached to forgiveness. When he reveals himself in Exodus 34, I won't take the time to read it, but he says, and the Lord descended into the clouds and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And then it says, this is what he proclaimed. What did he proclaim? He says this, that is keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. That's what he proclaimed. When he says he proclaimed his name, he proclaimed this forgiveness, forgiving iniquity, and that will by no means clear the guilty, but he is a forgiving God. But also, I know he will forgive me of my sins if I turn to Jesus Christ, because all the scriptures speak of it. All the prophets spoke of the Messiah, that he will forgive. We read in Acts 10 verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Not just forgiveness, but remission of sins. It means the sin is put away. It's put away. When cancer is in remission, it's not that cancer is forgiven. It is now gone. It's dealt with. It's finished. And that all the sacrifices of the Jews, they illustrate and they promised forgiveness. The scripture says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And through the shedding of Christ's blood, sinners are forgiven. And Christ came into the world to attain forgiveness for his people. That's why his name is called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And isn't this what the apostle says in Hebrews 9, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ has come. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So it cost him so that his Father would forgive. And the Lord said to his disciples, go and proclaim this. Go and tell this message to everyone in this world. That's why I can have that assurance. Jesus Christ will forgive my sins if I turn to him. Third thing is this. When sin is forgiven, the consequences of sin are removed. When sin is forgiven, the consequences of sin are removed. Jerusalem was about to be ruined with pestilence, with the armies. And then God promised forgiveness. He promised to remove the pestilence. He promised to remove the thing that was going to destroy Jerusalem. He was going to remove the consequences of their sins. The inhabitants, it says, shall not say, I am sick. So the illness would go. Oh, if this nation, if the world had repented in this past year, do you think we would continue? If the nation called upon God in repentance, do you think we would continue in this way, in this miserable way that we are in? But people refuse to repent. People refuse to bow before God, and they see everything in a way that has to do with just if you only get such and such a thing. It's only to do with medication or matters of health, and they forget about the spiritual health of the nation. But when sin is forgiven, the consequences of sin are removed. When God promised forgiveness, he was going to remove the illness too. And my friends, if we return to Jesus Christ, come to him, God will not only forgive you of your sins, he will also heal you of all the consequences of your sins. What are one of the consequences? Is death. Is death. The penalty of death is removed. The sting of death is removed. The fear of death is removed. Why are people all so fearful outside? They're running on the Lord's Day when they should be coming to the house of God. They are caring for their own health. They would do everything to protect themselves. Why? Because there is a fear. And there's a knowledge. I'm going to die one day, and so I'm going to extend my life if I only do these things. But the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, removes the fear of death, removes death itself. The Christian will not see the second death. We receive eternal life instead. But also the dominion and the bondage of sin is removed as well. Because you see, we are chained up by sin. There's a power of sin over us. And Satan too. But when Jesus saves, when we come to him, when we are forgiven of our sins, we become like that man who was blind, that other man who was dumb. They were both influenced, possessed by devils. But the Lord Jesus Christ saves us from the hand of the devil. The losses that you have by sin also will be restored. He will grant you complete restoration. This is what the apostle says in Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what the Lord leads us to. Fruitfulness, spiritual productivity, real life. But let me finish by saying this. As soon as sinners repent and pray to God, he hears and forgives. It's an immediate thing that takes place. Do you ask when this forgiveness can be expected? Then you cry to God. Then you can expect it. Believe that. Trust in the Lord. He is faithful. As soon as Hezekiah was humbled, he sought the Lord. And as soon as he sought the Lord, he was forgiven. Pardon is granted when prayer is offered. O Lord, be gracious unto me. And that's what he said in verse 2. O Lord, be gracious unto me. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. Remember the prodigal son? He was sitting there in his state, hungry, thirsty, without anything, with all his guilt. And then it says he came to himself. He came to himself. And he realized he sinned against his father and against heaven. Pardon was given when God is exalted in our hearts. The Lord, we read in verse 5. In verse 5 we read, the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. So when we have a high view of the Lord, is your view of God high and lifted up and great almighty? Or you use him as a fixer of your problems? You only go to him when things go wrong. But to see him as the creator of all things. And so when you begin to think of God highly, and that he is high in his holiness, you realize the greatness and his majesty, then it is that you're humbled. You're put in your place. God doesn't grant forgiveness to people until they recognize, until they acknowledge that he is great. God grants pardon when people are humbled before him. In verse 7, we read, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without, and ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. They are weeping. God grants pardon when sinners are terrified because of their sin. Verse 14, it says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised their hypocrites. You remember Saul of Tarsus? You remember him who was in Acts chapter 9, it's recorded he was going to capture and put into prison Christians. And yet the fear of God fell upon him. The Lord revealed himself to him. Friends, God will pardon sinners when he is acknowledged as Lord and King. Do you recognize the Lord? Acknowledge him as King? As God? As Lord? Kiss the Son, the psalmist says in Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Friends, God will pardon if you bow before him and say, Lord, there were people when you were being crucified, they cried out, we will not have this man to rule over us. But Lord, I don't want that. I want you to in my life. I want you to rule over my life. Lord, I've made a mess of my life. Look at my life now. I'm lost and helpless. Lord, rule over my life now. Christ then will save. God forgives our sins. It says in verse 22, he will save us. He will save us. Do you trust that? Believe that, my friends. Oh, trust Jesus Christ. And he will not tie your sins, as children would do, something to a piece of wood and throw it into the river. And for it to float on the surface. The Lord will tie your sins, if I could use this expression, around a great rock and throw it into the ocean of his forgetfulness. It will sink to the bottom. It will not pop up again in his mind. He will not judge you because of your sins if you only cling to Jesus Christ, because he paid the price of our sins. He experienced our wrath. And so forgiveness, to be forgiven. Can you say that? Can you write it on a t-shirt and wear it? And all it says this, forgiven, forgiven. Oh, that every one of us could wear a t-shirt like that. But mean it. Experience it. That Christ has forgiven me, indeed. He died for me, indeed. He paid the price for me. And there is nothing I can do to deserve it or to earn it. But I receive it by faith, trusting in him. And follow him. May the Lord then bless these few thoughts to our hearts.